Amen. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Lord, I just thank you for the presence of the Lord that's in this place. I thank you, Lord, for every member of your body that's here today. And that we're together as your body and you are the head. And we just thank you for your presence, your spirit, your love, your life that's in this place. Lord, and as we receive your word today, quicken it to our hearts, quicken it to our understanding. Let it come alive in us today, Lord. Let these words of yours be words of life to us this day, that we take it and run with it. Amen. Yesterday, I received a prophecy in the mail from a lady named Lana Valver from Brisbane, Australia. She's a prophet of the Lord. And this came, and it was just awesome, but it also was what I had been preparing for a lesson all week from the Word. And the Word of Prophecy came, and so it was real long, and I cut some of it down. But I just want to read it because I believe it's what God's saying to his body right now. She said, when she was waiting in the presence of the Lord, she saw such movement and momentum taking place in and from August, and was seeing the favor of God moving his people who are living laid down and into a place of success. I kept seeing a bright, new, sunny day, a turning of hearts and souls from negativity, weariness, and hopelessness to a place in Jesus full of hope, promise, expectation, heavenly optimism, and explosive, opportune moments. There's a specific right place at the right time moment displaying the perfect timing of God being released in August. There will be provision, networks, and opportunities in August that will be so significant and strategic. They will release God's people into greater financial ease, greater favorable outcomes, upgrades, and catapulting the people of God into deeper realms of partnering with his spirit for greater influence and effectiveness for the kingdom. And this next part is very important. Worship is bringing shattering. I keep feeling worship is key, so key right now in everything that's going on. I feel such a deep invitation from the heart of the Father to come deeper in worship. He is doing a deep and an accelerated work in the hearts and souls of his people as they worship in this season. Worship of Jesus is bringing a shattering of chains, ceilings, limitations, strongholds, and oppositions trying to hinder you from your destiny. In worship, you will rise and see what is meant to be. Dreams birthed out of the heart of the Father, your destiny. I felt the Lord saying that as we ascend in worship, acceleration will set alight in August. There is an even greater seasoning of the great extend taking place. The extension of tent pegs and the enlarging of thinking, expectations, and dreams to dwell in the place of nothing is impossible for God. The momentum of acceleration is building. It feels like a whole new speed of accelerated breakthrough is being moved into. As I pressed into the Lord's heart, I could feel his compassion and love for those who've been waiting for so long and getting to the point of such desperation. Their heart cry has been, Lord, where is the exit? Where is this, the end of this trial, this season? And I felt the Lord saying, I am turning the desperate cry for exit and despair to actuality, the actuality of the promises and breakthrough. Angelic assistance and intervention in August. Firstly, I want to say that we do not worship angels. We worship Jesus. I saw Jesus releasing greater angelic assistance and intervention in August. I saw angels assisting and ministering to God's people in such tangible ways in August that the people of God were being awakened to greater angelic activity in their lives. I saw intervention after intervention of angels foiling assignments of the enemy in the lives of believers. A secure safeguard sent by the Lord. I also saw divine intervention and interruptions, an increase of help and rescue, but also divine interruptions, angelic encounters releasing greater insight, direction, and revelation sent by Jesus to God's people, interpreting their very daily routine and releasing a change of direction. I saw an angel, an assignment from the Lord, and this angelic host was coming to herald in a season an increase of divine inventions over many of God's people. His name was Angel of Invention. This angel of invention was a commander of a host of angels, and he was coming toward the lives of believers with a great company of angels behind him. This angelic host was carrying scrolls of declaration written by the Lord, containing all the witty inventions, wisdom, and increase in creativity of the season. As these angels released these scrolls into the lives of God's people, I saw them suddenly thrust into a season of heavenly wisdom, invention, and creativity. Witty inventions, strategy, business plans, completely new inventions and heavenly ideas. Answers are coming to the people of God to invent things that are completely new. There is a definite beginning and increase of this in August and beyond. But I see what is birthed in August, and in this realm of invention, the Lord is setting up for decades inventions that will impact the generations. These heavenly strategic inventions will not only change people, shape cities, nations, and the seven mountains of culture, the Lord will release significant financial blessings to God's people. How many of them say amen? I receive it. Yes. Greater financial blessings will be put in the hands of the righteous to see cities and nations influenced, shaped, and changed through these heavenly inventions and wisdom, through the Seven Mountains mandate. What the Lord is going to do in August is a great setting up for long-lasting impact, breakthrough, and change. August will see the ripple and domino effect in greater accelerated ways, carrying a momentum with it to shape and impact the future generations. And we said, amen. Yes. And now I will go into the message that God had put on my heart for today. And it's blessed to be a blessing. God wants us blessed in finances to be a blessing. He wants to bless us in all kinds of ways, but I just kept hearing finances come up in my heart. God wants to bless us in finances. And so because he wants to bless us in finances, it's important for us to get a hold of what the Word of God says about it, because then that gives it substance to us. I'm going to read, first of all, Proverbs 29:18. And this is in the Message. And it's there. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So anything God puts in our hearts, what does the Word say about it? Because if we don't know, we stumble all over ourselves. We don't take it and run with it. And as we're studying godly wealth, we're going to be making some decrees. So I'm going to give you just a little bit of foundation for decrees. Job 22:28 says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways." The decree is a legal term that carries the same level of authority as a law being enacted, or being issued by a court. A decree is like a legal decision. It's an important thing. And we can decree something that God has promised or purposed for us, even though we may not be experiencing it yet. Because that's what God wants to do for us. We can decree it, even though it may not be a personal experience as yet. As we verbally agree or decree God's purposes for us, it opens the way for God's purpose to become a tangible reality in our lives. When we decree God's word, written or prophetic, not only are we establishing the blessing, but we are dividing ourselves away from anything purposed against the blessing. Hallelujah. We're going to read a couple of scriptures about it. Jeremiah 1:12 in the Amplified says, "For I," and talking, God talking, "am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it." When we put voice to God's word, when we come into agreement with what he said, then he performs it for us. But it's important that we speak it and come in agreement with him, and then he does it. And in Psalms 130, verse 20, and this is a New American Standard, it says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word." So when we speak the word of God, the angels take that word to perform it. They've been given direction from God to obey the voice of God's word. So when we decree God's word, the angels are being released to do the words, the work of his word. And so now we're going to start on my topic, godly wealth. We're going to Proverbs 8. We're going to read 17 and 18 and then down to 21. Wisdom speaking. It says, "I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. I have riches and honor, as well as enduring wealth and justice. Those who love me inherit wealth, and I will fill their treasuries." It's wisdom speaking. Now we're going to a scripture in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 1:30, the first part of the verse. We're reading it in the New Living Translation. It says, "God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him," talking about Jesus, "to be wisdom itself." So Jesus is wisdom itself. Remember what we just read about what wisdom does, if you love wisdom? Well, when we received Jesus, we fell in love with him. And that makes us candidates to inherit riches, honor, and wealth. Okay, I'm going to read a decree, and then we'll go through it phase at a time, and you can repeat it with me. I'll read the whole thing first. "Because I'm in love with Jesus, I inherit wealth, and my treasuries are full. My bank account is full, my wallet is full, my pantry is full." So let's go. Because I'm in love with Jesus, I inherit wealth, and my treasuries are full. My bank account is full. My wallet is full. My pantry is full. Hallelujah, because we're in love with Jesus. God's desire is for us to be blessed and enriched in the Lord in every area of our life. John 10:10. Jesus said, "The thief does not come but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God desires that we have life and life more abundantly. If any situation's coming in and it's stealing, killing, and destroy, we know it's from the devil. That's the enemy. If it's giving life and life more abundantly, it's from the Lord. That's a real clear dividing line. Hallelujah. Isaiah 45:3 says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, will call you by your name, am the God of Israel. Well, he promised to give us the treasures of darkness, and I believe that includes all kinds of things, not only natural, financial provision, but, you know, how many people are in Douglas in darkness, but they're treasures. There's treasures hidden in them. Hallelujah. And, you know, God wants to give us those treasures that's in darkness. So there's a lot of different treasures hidden that God wants to give us. Then we're going to Colossians 1:12. And it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Okay, we're going to do another decree. God is giving me treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. I am a partaker of my inheritance from the Father God. Okay? God is giving me the treasures of darkness. God is giving me the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. And hidden riches of secret places. I am a partaker. I'm a partaker of my inheritance from my Father God. I am a partaker of my inheritance from my Father God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 8:18, God said, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers this day. So God's given us the power to get wealth. Why? To establish his kingdom. Amen. We're going to read now how prosperity is one of the benefits of Jesus' sacrifice when he gave his life. We're going to Isaiah 53:4-5. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. I'm going to look particularly at the word peace there. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Peace in Hebrew is the word shalom. And shalom means safety, health, prosperity, peace, and wholeness. All of those things Jesus paid for. He paid for us to have prosperity. And all of those other blessings that we just need and love. Hallelujah. I decree I live in God's shalom, safety, health, prosperity, peace, and wholeness. Okay, repeat that with me. I live in God's shalom, safety, health, prosperity, peace, and wholeness. Okay, we're going to 2 Corinthians 9:8, and we're going to read this in the Amplified. And it says, and God is able to make all grace, and grace means a divine flow of God's power, come to you in abundance so that you may always, under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donations. God gives us grace to abound. Hallelujah. His divine power to abound. We're going to do another decree. By God's grace, I have everything I need and an abundance to give unto every good work. I am a generous, joyous giver. Okay, we're going to do it together in parts. By God's grace, I have everything I need. An abundance to give into every good work. I am a generous, joyous giver. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that portion of scripture in the message. I didn't put it up there, so just listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 8 and 10 through 11 in the message. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His righteous living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. The most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. Amen. God's good to us. He's just good to us. Hallelujah. I wasn't finished. I went on. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. You know, there's joy in giving. I know Calvin and I make a lifestyle of giving. We love to give. We just give and we give and we give. We have things set aside we give to, ministries that we give to every month. But above that, we just love to give. You know, we're just always giving. And it's just, it brings joy. It's just a satisfaction that in giving, it's just a blessing. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. How many want to grab that? Yeah, we'll take that. Amen. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. I'm going to read a little kind of poem that goes along with that. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the mountains with their caves, the caves with their treasures, the meadows with their trees, the trees with their fruit, the land with its pastures, the pastures with their cattle, the soil with its seeds, the seeds with their crops, the silver and gold and all the precious gems and minerals, the entire sphere of creation and all that it contains, it belongs to my poppy. and I'm his love child. Hallelujah. I'm an inheritor of all that is his. Amen. How blessed we are. You know, when you go to the mountains and you see the beauty, you know, just this, oh, my daddy made this. He made it for me to enjoy. Yeah, he did. He just made it for me. All the wildflowers blooming out there that I just, all the way to town and back every time, I just look and look and look and look at the flowers. In fact, I drive sometimes and I've just been having Calvin to drive so I can just look at the flowers and give all my attention to, you know, go look what God did for me. You know, I just take it personally. Wow, He made this for me to enjoy. Hallelujah. He's my sweet, sweet big daddy that loves me so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants us giving with willing minds and willing hearts. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, "For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have." God doesn't want us worrying about what we don't have. He wants us to live right where we are and live day by day right where we are. And you know, sometimes people, they look at their situations and they'll say, well, you know, I don't have anything to give. Everybody has something to give. You know, if it's service to someone else, if it's just something, everybody has things to give. Ask God, what do you have for me to give? And as you begin to obey Him and give and do what He tells you to do, it'll grow. And your resources will grow too. Exodus 35, we're going to read verse 5 and then down to verse 21. Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. Gold, silver, bronze. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service and for the holy garments. And so, you know, God doesn't, He doesn't even want, if we're giving out of obligation, He doesn't want that. He wants us giving out of a willing, joyful heart. And when our heart is stirred, follow it, you know, and respond. The Old Testament is so full, we could read 100 scriptures on free will offering. You know, the people brought a free will offering to the Lord. And they just gave because they wanted to. And it always so pleased the Lord when people just gave because they wanted to. A free will offering. And that's what how our hearts need to be. Can riches be used wrong? Well, duh, yes. they can be. we read about the love of money in 1 Timothy 6:10. It says, for the love of money. Now, did it say money? It says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money is the root of all illegal trafficking, whether it's drugs or arms or people or all illegal trafficking, the love of money is behind it. And then there's the love of money that makes people want money so bad and want to succeed so bad that they will just climb all over other people and don't care who they hurt to get what they want. That's the love of money that just is, and people ignore God and what He wants just to get what they want. The love of money is also very attached to a spirit of fear. If I have money, I'm afraid I might lose it, and I have to hang on tight to it. I have to care. You know, you become selfish, closed in, self-centered. You know, that's the love of money. And, you know, people that don't have any money can be affected by the love of money as much as people that have a lot of money. You know, you just become afraid, and you hang on to what little you have, and you worry about it, and you're fearful about it. That's the love of money. And then there's a scripture about trusting in money in Mark 10, 23 through 24. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astounded at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God." Now, you know, a whole lot of people that have a lot of wealth, they trust in that wealth. But how much is too much? You know, if you can have $10 or $1 million and your trust can be in that money. Our trust isn't to be in whatever we have. If it's a dollar or $1 million, that's not where our trust is. Our trust is to be in the Lord. Hallelujah. In Him. Hallelujah. Psalms 37, 3 through 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness." You know, God's always faithful, but we have to feed on it. We have to receive it. Hallelujah. "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." So, you know, God wants us to bless. He wants to bless us, but He doesn't want our trust to be in that blessing. He wants us to keep our trust in Him. Amen? We're going to look at Abraham's blessings. We're going to read Galatians 3. Starting with verse 7, then we'll drop to 9, 14, and 29. Okay, Galatians 3, 7. "Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham." So we're of faith. We believe by faith, and we're sons of Abraham. Verse 9. "So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." Down to 14, "That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Down to 29, it says, "And if you are Christ," we belong to Christ, "then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So we're heirs of Abraham. Remember the song we used to always say, "Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine." I shouldn't sing. Anyway, but Abraham's blessings are mine. Anyway, however I sing, they are. Hallelujah. Genesis 12, 2 through 3 is God's promise to Abraham. And He said, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." God blessed Abraham to be a blessing. And God wants to bless us to be a blessing to others. Amen? And I will, verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Okay, so because we are Abraham's seed, the families of Douglas are blessed because we belong to God. Amen? But it says here, God says, "I will bless those who bless you." That's what's called partnership. When God calls someone to do something in His kingdom, those that bless what they're doing also partake of the blessing. In 1985, when God first was calling us into the ministry, He gave Calvin a mandate. He woke him up with it early in the morning. He said, "Arise and go forth on a new venture of faith and I will bless you, and I will use you, and I will keep you safe. And he has. But people that help us go on this venture of faith, they are entitled to the same blessings of being blessed, being used, and being kept safe. Hallelujah. It's a partnership deal. When you bless what God has called, you receive the blessings of that as well as partners. Amen. That's fun. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7:1. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem and priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him." Verse 2, the first part. "And to him Abraham also gave a tenth of all. So Abraham voluntarily gave a tithe to Melchizedek. A tithe is 10%. And so Abraham knew God as El Shaddai. It's the nature of God that loves and nourishes and provides. And so Abraham, always when you go back to the original Hebrew, he visited with El Shaddai, the supply, the God of supply. Hallelujah. And the Bible makes it real clear that we are children of Abraham. And so if our father Abraham voluntarily gave tithes, then that's just part of our nature that we should also give a tithe unto the Lord. And then it goes on, Genesis 13:2 says, "And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold." He was a wealthy man. And we are his children and we are heirs of the inheritance. Hallelujah. Amen. So we will take that. Amen. That's my inheritance. We're going to talk a little bit now about the law of sowing and reaping. Genesis 8:22 declares, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Do we still have day and night? We do. And so we're promised that seed time and harvest will never stop as long as they're daytime and night. And so we are living in the time of seed time and harvest. And the purpose of planting a seed is so that it will die in order that its inner life will produce a new plant and there'll be a multiplication of that seed. And so the whole purpose of sowing as a seed is so that it will multiply. That's the purpose of seed time, is to have a harvest. And the harvest is always greater than the seed that you planted. That's the way it is. You plant one piece of corn, and how many kernels and ears of corn do you get off of that one piece of, one seed of corn? Hallelujah. And so when we plant seed, we need to be quick to celebrate and just have faith and joy that a harvest is coming. I planted this seed and I thank you that the harvest is coming. And, we can say, "Go multiply. I'll see you later." See you back around. But because we continue, some seeds produce right away. Radishes seeds are just so fast. But it takes a long time when you plant a pecan to get a pecan tree producing pecans. Years and years and years. And so because seed comes back in different times, we just need to continually plant all kinds of seed because we continually have need for harvest. We continually have need. So our sowing needs to be a lifestyle. A lifestyle of sowing. Before the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, the earth produced effortlessly. The harvest was just there. There was an abundance. They did have to do the work of reaching out and picking it off the tree. I mean, they had to do something, but it wasn't a lot of work. It was effortless just to pick that fruit off of the tree. It was just no sweat. But when Adam disobeyed God, there was a curse put on mankind. We're going to read about it in Genesis 3, 17 through 19. Then to Abram he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field." And so, you know, and then verse 19, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, and to dust you are, and to dust you'll return." Jesus broke Adam's curse when he wore the crown of thorns on his head. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus sweat great drops of blood. And this is one of the final pieces of redemption in Christ that we need to get a hold of. The curse over us in sowing and reaping, Jesus broke. He took it on himself. And so now we should be able to sow and reap with ease. Hallelujah. That's good news. Galatians 6, 7, and 9 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Luke 6, 38. "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you again." Now we're going to go to another scripture that has to do with worship and praise and the harvest. And remember the prophecy where I read you that worship is a key right now. It's just a key. It's a key factor, being in God's presence. Well, listen to this in Psalm 67, 5 through 7, and we're going to end with this. It says, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him." Okay, put 6 back up there. When will the earth yield her increase? When the people praise the Lord. When the people praise the Lord, the earth yields her increase. So worship, God has special things for his people in this time, and worship is our key. Worship is a key, being in his presence, because then the earth brings forth her increase. When we praise God, things shift in the heavenlies, causing a reaction in the natural realm. Living a lifestyle of worship will cause the earth to yield her increase. And the blessing of God is upon us so that the ends of the earth will fear the Lord. And so it's kind of selfish of us to say, well, I don't want any blessings. I don't want to be a blessed. Because our blessing depends on the people and the ends of the earth receiving the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. The more prosperous we are in God's blessing, the more our generosity can be used to reach the lost and evangelize this planet that God has blessed us with. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I have more, but I just had too much prepared. Lord, let's just stand to our feet. And we are in a season that God wants to turn finances around. He wants to turn blessing around. He wants to give inventions and new ideas to people. And so I want you to just raise your hands as Peter begins to pray. I want you to begin to raise your hands and say, Lord, open my heart to receive divine ideas from you and the blessing that you have for my life, that I might be a blessing to establish the kingdom of God. Lord, we just receive from you right now. We worship you and we praise you and we thank you that you are a mighty God, a great and a mighty God, mighty, 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 and there's nothing too hard for you. And it is the time that you are wanting to shine through your people and use your people, Father, oh, for your glory in this earth. And we just praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will put a praise of song in our heart, birth a praise that will be there day in and day out and day in and day out. And when things, there's bumps come along the road, that we'll just say, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this people. And I thank you for the anointing that's upon them. And I thank you for the word of God that has been planted in our hearts this day. I thank you, Lord, that it will multiply and return a harvest to us for your glory, Lord. We just give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. And we just love you, Jesus, and give you thanksgiving and praise. Holy, 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 hallelujah. As your eyes are closed and your arms are raised, just kind of put your hands out. God's wanting to pour gifts into you. He's wanting to give you ideas, not only about finances, but in every area of your life. He wants to give you ideas. He wants to help you. He wants to turn situations around. He wants to give you the gifts of the Spirit so that you can flow and help meet the needs. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your prayer. We just give you glory and praise. And I thank you, Lord, that the angels of God are surrounding us today and that they will go about with these people. We thank you, Lord, that the finances of Douglas are turning around. We thank you, Lord, for new growth, new economic growth, new ideas. We thank you that hidden treasures will be revealed that will bless our community. We thank you, Lord, for new businesses that will rise up, that will give new jobs, that will bless our community. We thank you, Lord, for witty inventions that will come out of Douglas, Arizona, and be a blessing to our world for decades to come. We thank you, Lord, that we are your people and you are our God, and that we are entering into a place where we say there's nothing impossible for God. Nothing. Nothing's impossible for my God. And Lord, we put ourselves, oh, we thank you for raising our faith, to touch heaven in this time and in this place. And we just thank you, Father, for blessing your people, for letting your light and your glory shine through this people and just turning things around in their lives for your purpose and for your glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
I've got a word here for somebody, maybe for several somebodies. Go like this, say, I'm a somebody. the Lord was speaking through Barbara about ideas and witty inventions. And, you know, God wants to give you a gift of good ideas on how to prosper. And I just feel like the Lord would say to somebody here, you've got a good idea. You need to pursue it with research. You can't just wait and twiddle your thumbs and pray all day and pray all night and, well, God's going to do this and God's going to do that. No, He wants you to pursue that good idea that He put in your heart. Research. Find what's the demographics on it. What's the information out there? What do you need to make it happen? And don't let big numbers or big challenges scare you. If God gave you a good idea, research what you need to do to start making it happen, and God will put power to your research and more good ideas to that, and He'll cause things to start happening, and He'll put things together. But you need to keep your feet moving, keep your mind moving, keep your research moving, so that those good ideas can turn into reality. Just do it. Just do it. You've got nothing to lose. Just do it. Let's ask God's blessing on the food. We're going to have food together. We got plenty of food for everybody, whether you brought anything or not. Father, we thank You for this food, Lord, for the blessing of being together, of a fellowship across the table. And Lord, we just ask that this food will be blessed and sanctified by this prayer and by our thankful hearts. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue this.